happy Wednesday. Thank you for tuning in to Morning Drive here on 89.7 WTBR FM here in Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR in Lee. My name is Bob Heck. Thanks for tuning in. And before we get to our guest, just another reminder, the 4th of July is right around the corner, and they're celebrating the generations this year, and Pittsfield Community Television is bringing you live coverage. Join us on July 4th, beginning at 9:30 a.m. for live parade coverage from South Street in Pittsfield. You can watch the coverage live on PCTV Access Pittsfield Channel 1301, PCTV Select 1, and on the Pittsfield Community Television Facebook page. Live coverage of the 4th of July parade is supported by Greylock Federal Credit Union, Berkshire Community College, Access Plus, and KJ Nosh Catering, among others. We got our guest here today, Anastasia Dedek. Did I pronounce that right, Dedek?
Anastasia Dedek, yes.
Okay. And she is here from the Prima Music Foundation. There's some stuff happening in the Berkshires for that. But before we get started into that aspect, why don't you tell everybody a little bit about yourself? You're new to the Berkshires?
Relatively new, yeah. So this is going to be the fourth year that we're doing this festival.
Oh, okay.
Prima Music Foundation Festival and Summer Camp, where we welcome young pianists. And we have pianists coming from New York, from Pittsfield. Some of them are flying from California. And it's a very exciting week, which is filled with masterclasses, workshops, performances, and a lot of inspiration and learning.
So it's all younger people, and it's basically, you know, nationwide where some of these people are coming from.
Right. Yes. So usually the ages of the students are between 10 and 18.
Mm-hmm.
But this year we also have two adult students. One of them is flying from California, and another one is coming from New Jersey. So we cover, complete repertoire, which has to do with classical music, some jazz, improvisation, and it attracts different ages, not just those 10-year-olds who are looking into the career and becoming a professional pianist, but also those for whom playing piano is just a fun period of their life, and they may not necessarily decide to be a professional pianist, but also adults, those that just find joy in having music a part of their life. So that's very exciting to be able to provide those experiences for different ages and completely different levels.
Okay, and how did you get into music and get into piano?
So, well, that's a trivial story, but at the same time, it's quite interesting. Both of my parents are musicians.
Mm-hmm.
My dad is an opera singer.
Oh, wow.
My mom is a pianist, and I grew up in St. Petersburg, Russia, where I went to special music school and then conservatory, where I got my bachelor and master's. And then I met my teacher from Oberlin Conservatory, Ohio, who came to give a master class. And I happened to
play for her in Russia,
St. Petersburg. She was from St. Petersburg originally.
Oh, okay.
So there was just this interesting connections, which I find happen in my life very often. And like those special connections and things that happen, they kind of lead me into the right, exciting path of my musical journey. So that was the start of me thinking that, well, maybe I don't go for my doctorate in St. Petersburg. Maybe I go and explore a different country. And so Sedmara Rutstein was my teacher at Oberlin, who came to give a master class at St. Petersburg Conservatory. I played, and then she said, well, if you would be interested in coming to the U.S., maybe you send a tape. There was those videotapes back then.
Oh, yeah.
So I recorded a tape. And then 2 weeks later, I get an email from Oberlin Conservatory saying that I got a full scholarship and they would like to have me. So somehow it was a very easy decision for me, although I had to change my entire life at that point. I was 23.
Yeah.
So it was like completely different path. But, well, 20 years later, I can say that it worked out well. And starting something new is not always easy, as we know. And I couldn't speak English very well at that point. And I had a British teacher back in St. Petersburg, so I had a very British accent. So when I got to Oberlin, you know, in Midwest, mm-hmm. there were lots of smiles and lots of giggles when I would talk like that, you know. So taking classes wasn't very easy at first, but, you know, we'll learn and adjust and adapt. And those were beautiful 3 years of my life being at Oberlin, because besides the fact that it's an amazing school with incredible faculty, everyone who I met there were extremely supportive in terms of, like, if I had to go to a competition or if I had to do a festival. They didn't just help financially because they knew that I needed it at that point in mm-hmm. my life, but they were also very encouraging. So I'm very grateful to them for that encouragement. And after Oberlin, I went to Juilliard, moved to New York, and I was there for 2 years doing my performance diploma. But at that time, I won international chamber music competition, Fischhoff, in Indiana. Mm-hmm. And that was a trio, piano, clarinet, and violin, with my friends, Gulia Gurevich on violin, who also went to Oberlin Conservatory. The clarinetist was from Russia, Boris Alakverdan, who is a principal clarinetist of LA Philharmonic right now. We formed the trio. And then we got management. We signed with Lisa Sapinkoff in California. And we started touring while being students.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So that was a very exciting part in our lives for all three of us, because we were able to be friends, make music together, travel together. And I'm leading up to the foundation and, like, how much inspiration I was getting throughout the years through all those daily activities that I did. And it always included mentors, teachers, travel, performances, being excited about doing new programs. And we've done that up until pandemic. Mm-hmm. When pandemic started, I thought that it would be nice to finally create something else.
Now, where were you when the pandemic started?
I was in New York. I was in Manhattan, and I was lucky enough to move to Texas for 5 months of the pandemic. My husband is from there, from South Texas. So we went there with my daughter, and we spent 5 beautiful months in nature, and it was really beautiful. And at that time, I also applied for a doctorate program at Rutgers University.
Okay.
At Mason Gross School of the Arts in New Jersey. So it was the time where so many things were not clear for all of us, right? Because all of a sudden you didn't have a job. Or, I mean, if you did, you had to figure out different ways. For example, I taught a lot. I taught a lot of piano lessons in Manhattan.
Oh, yeah. And then tough to do on Zoom, I would imagine.
Of course. So figuring out how do we do all of that online. And at first there was a phone somewhere on the side of the piano, but then, like, you figure out how to do it better. What do you use to have a better sound and all of that? So I bought a little upright piano while in Texas. So I continued practicing. I continued working with my students. And planning my recitals, and I started my doctorate degree then. And for the doctorate degree, I had to play 5 recitals. So because everything was closed and you couldn't do recitals in person, the first 3 recitals I did online. So I basically had to rent a hall or go to university, record the entire recital, send it to the school, and that was the whole process. Like, very different from what I used to do before. So, and with that, like, during that time, I reconnected with a very dear friend of my family, of my father. Like I mentioned, he sang in Mariinsky Theater in St. Petersburg his entire life. And he used to have friends from Boston, Rita Kuker and her husband, George Kuker, who George was from St. Petersburg and then immigrated to the United States in the early 40s or late 30s. And both of them were huge lovers of not just opera, but just the music in general. And my parents had this friendship with them, even though neither of my parents spoke English very well. But somehow, you know, they found this relationship, like growing into just becoming so close by sharing this music that all of them appreciated and loved. So I met Rita when I was 8 in St. Petersburg. And then somehow throughout the years, we lost touch. And then during pandemic, I received an email that was sent to me through my website. And she says, oh, I'm Rita Kuker. I've known your father. I met you when you were 8. Well, at this point, I'm not 8 anymore, right. And I'm here. So, and she's like, where do you live? Like, I heard your recordings on YouTube. You play so beautifully. How are your parents and all of that? So after about 20 years of not having communication with her, all of a sudden we find out that she has a house in Lenox. She lives in Boston, but she has a house in Lenox.
Okay.
And we came to visit her, and we kind of reconnected and became very, very close. And she's, music is her passion, even though her job was not related to anything musical, but she's completely immersed to anything that has to be to do with ballet or opera. And that first year of pandemic, we thought, well, why not create something that we both love doing and something meaningful that we can grow eventually. So that's how the Prima Music Foundation started 5 years ago. And this is going to be the fourth summer that we will be doing the piano summer camp here in Pittsfield. And we do the classes at Berkshire Music School. But we also offer different activities around the Berkshires. One of the summers we went to the Mount. Then we do performances at Ventford Hall during the summer. So, yeah, that's the whole story of how everything evolved throughout the years.
And how did you end up hooking up with Berkshire Music School?
It was through a mutual friend who, I believe, came to a concert once, and she connected us. And there is one student who is still a student of mine that she suggested that he should take lessons with me. And he's a very, very talented young boy. His name is Artois Sancho. And we've been working for the past 3 years. Sometimes I come here. We have lessons in person. Sometimes we have lessons online. But he's been grown incredibly. And he's actually this summer he has a full scholarship to attend the summer camp.
Oh, wow.
So I'm very excited for him. Yes.
We're with Anastasia Dedek, who is a concert performer and a teacher and is doing some things here in the Berkshires. And we'll talk more about the Prima Music Foundation in a little bit. But talk to me about, you've been all over. You started in St. Petersburg,
yeah.
And then you moved to middle of Ohio and then New York City.
Right.
Talk about the differences between those three locations, because Oberlin's not New York City. It's
exactly.
Probably nothing like it.
Yeah.
I don't know too much about the Oberlin area, but
right.
I've gone through Ohio a couple of times, and it's not New York City. So
absolutely.
Talk about some of the differences and some of some of the culture shock you ran into in those places.
Sure. Well, you know, it's interesting. They say that everything happens at the right time,
mm-hmm.
and I also believe that everything happens at the right place and with the right people. And somehow all those changes that happen in our life, they're connected to whatever we're going through at a certain moment. So Oberlin happened at a perfect point in my life where I felt like it would be a great change for me. I was in St. Petersburg. I grew up there. Like I said, I went to special music school and conservatory. And
is St. Petersburg like a bigger city? Is it closer to New York City than Oberlin?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's a very culturally rich city where you constantly go to concerts and the symphony and the opera. And since my father was at Mariinsky Theater, my after school was basically spending a few hours going to Mariinsky Theater and listening to all the rehearsals.
Okay.
So by the age of like 10, 12, I probably knew most of the operas. And so that was really, of course, exciting to grow up there. So when I came to Oberlin, it was a huge difference, just like completely north and south. But I found an incredible joy of being in that very calm, organized, and really beautiful place with wonderful, supportive people around me. So talking about cultural shock, well, one of the things that really surprised me was that one of the master classes that it was called the studio class that my teacher would do every week. Well, every teacher would have like this showcase of the students, and you would pick one piece that you're comfortable performing in front of the studio and your teacher. And if that was happening in St. Petersburg, you would dress up, you would wear nice shoes and all of that. So my first master class, there was a pianist who walks on stage and he's in his pajamas and flip-flops. So, I just thought that something happened and I felt like I needed to help. So that was just one of those things that, like, interesting. Like, this is, you know, you go to a Steinway and this is the stage. And, like, it was very different. But at the same time, it also taught me a lot of things in terms of it's okay to be comfortable doing what you love.
Mm-hmm.
So there were lots of moments like that that taught me to just in order to play well, you don't really have to take it extremely serious. It's almost like I needed that time in my life to kind of for someone to tell me, you know, it's okay. You can just take it easy and you can still practice and do your best on stage, even if you're not wearing a concert dress. So that was one of those interesting moments. Well, of course, food. Food was very different.
Oh, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yeah. So food was very different.
I mean, cafeteria food at a university is hit or miss anyway.
Of course. Of course. What else? And then after Oberlin came New York, and there was another experience which was completely different from St. Petersburg or Oberlin. And that was probably the toughest 3 years of my life, being at Juilliard.
Really? Okay.
Yeah, well, first of all, being in New York City, which is, we know, very expensive. You have to be able to support
that, yes.
Yourself. At that time, I am 27. So I cannot call my parents and say, hey, can you send me some money? So I had to figure it out. So I was doing concerts with the Prima Trio. At that time, I was doing some of my solo engagements. I was a student, so I had to do homework and things. And I had to pay rent and all of that. So that wasn't easy. But again, there was so much joy in the job that I committed to doing, which was playing for incredible voice teachers from Juilliard, from Manhattan School of Music. And I became very close with two of them. Unfortunately, they passed away just in the past two years. Marlena Malas and Robert White, and this incredible musicians that had an extraordinary careers, who produced so many amazing singers. And that was my gig, playing for their lessons, for the students. And sometimes my Saturday would be 10 hours of doing that. And then I would have to go to a studio and practice myself. So being in New York definitely wasn't easy. But at the same time, you know, it teaches you so many things. And right now I'm kind of trying to go back from what I taught myself back then, like, you know, being very gathered, being super focused, because that also eventually brings, you know, worries and some anxieties. And at some point you kind of need to tell yourself, okay, it's time to breathe out and maybe find a different pace for life. Not like I've found it yet. Still searching.
Well, I mean, New York City, being able to go there, the exposure to so many wonderful musicians.
Yes.
All around, I mean, every block there's a talented musician doing something at a bar or a jazz club or
Absolutely.
Something like that. I mean, was there any artist in particular that you gravitated to? Like, oh, I got to go see that performer? Or was it just the opportunity to see so many different forms of entertainment?
Yeah, I would say just in general, you are just like you just said, you're exposed to so many different areas of art. Not even just music, right? Like you mm-hmm. can go to galleries and you can compare art and relate it to music. And yes, definitely all those concerts with New York Philharmonic and Carnegie Hall is a 7-minute walk from Juilliard School. And Metropolitan Opera is right there. You just cross the street. So all those experiences were incredible. The only thing when you're a student and you have to provide for yourself. It's
right.
like you can only do that much just in terms of time. But yeah, I mean, it's an extraordinary city that offers so much. It's almost, sometimes it feels like it's too much. Like now when I'm in charge of the foundation and there are so many events and so many things that I have to go to, and it's, I hate saying no, but sometimes I don't have enough of me to mm-hmm. do all of that. And I want to go to this concert and I want to see this. And then there is this event and this and that. And sometimes it just becomes overwhelming.
And what are your thoughts on the Berkshires? Because you could still see all sorts of art and entertainment and a variety of different things. Certainly not to the excess of what you could see in New York City. But to be able to see some of, you know, we have Berkshire Opera Festival. We have
Tanglewood.
Right? Yes. So many different opportunities, yes. but at a much, much slower pace than New York City. So, like, what are your thoughts about the Berkshires?
Well, I think it's incredible to have a place which is so close to New York City
mm-hmm.
and so close to Boston as well, right? Where you can find culturally everything you're looking for. Because there's also beautiful jazz programs, beautiful classical programs at Tanglewood. And we have this incredible artist like Yo-Yo Ma and Emmanuel Ax, who I met a couple of months ago at his recital at Rockport. All this incredible artists that are sharing their craft with you, but in a completely different surrounding of this serene beauty and calmness. And That's really cool.
We'll spend the second half on the show. We're going to take a break in a couple of minutes, and we'll spend the second half of the show talking about the Premium Music Foundation
sure.
and what exactly is going to be happening in the Berkshires as a part of that. But one more quick question before we go to the break. You know, obviously performing live in front of people is one thing, but then you said during the pandemic, you had to do five mm-hmm. recitals,
mm-hmm.
and a bunch of them you basically did in an empty room. Like, how difficult is that? I mean, some people might prefer it if they have, like, the stage fright thing going
right.
on.
Right.
You know, for someone like me, though, I'd much rather have an audience to feed off of
right.
and to know, like, okay, they're bored, let's shift it to something else. Or
right.
Talk about the difficulties of that.
Yeah, so absolutely. It was a completely different experience, and it was a difficult experience because, just like you said, being alone in a hall and recording, that was, well, the thing is that you don't have that exchange of energy. And I think this is why we do what we do, not just because we like to play the instrument, but there is an incredible amount of energy exchange that's happening
right
there, right? And this is the part why I think it's every artist, but after I play a concert, I can never fall asleep right away. And sometimes there is a sleepless night because you're still buzzed up, right? There is all this energy and all the conversations and all that really beautiful things that I think keeps us wanting to go back to stage, on stage. So, yeah, it wasn't easy at all. Because you get no feedback, and then you record, and then you record again, and then it's not always, you know, one spot is great, but then something doesn't work out perfectly, you have to re-record it. And then it's just, of course, it's not as satisfying as, you know, going on stage and performing for the audience. Yeah, but I think so many people had to adjust to that, right?
Yeah.
And lots of people created concert series online, right? And I think it's also a beautiful thing because there were so many people that could not leave their apartments or their houses because due to some health concerns, right? So I think it was great that how many artists gathered and created this this platform online where they were able to stream concerts.
Yeah, I did notice that as well. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of people from bands did acoustic sets online.
Right. And,
I mean, because they had nothing better to do,
right.
And they knew we had nothing better to do.
Right.
So, I mean, it was really cool to see the music community come together and do stuff like that during that time. I just hope we don't ever have to go through that again, because that was brutal. Anastasia Dedek is our guest, and we're going to more with her coming up on the other side of the break here on Morning Drive here on WTBR.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. Free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu.
And from Sandrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Massachusetts. Retractable awnings, retractable screen, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms. Customized solutions available online at sandrini.com.
Hey, it's Sean from WTBR-FM. Whether you just found this station for the first time or you've been listening for years, you might not know everything about WTBR-FM. Want to find out more? It's easy. Just go to WTBRFM.com. You can find full programming schedules, listen to the station anywhere in the world, subscribe to our podcasts, and even learn to create a program of your own. And of course, donate to the station. That's WTBRFM.com. Check it out today.
Do you need mental health or addiction services today? MassHealth clients in crisis now have access to same-day treatment at the Breen Center's new Community Behavioral Health Center and quicker access to urgent and routine mental health and addiction services. Please call 800-252-0227 for more information or visit our website at breencenter.org. Thank you.
Support for this public service announcement comes from Berkshire Community College and Park Square Productions.
Welcome to Beyond, a one-hour program of science fiction, fantasy, and adventure. I'll be your host, Beverly Prentice. Listen in every Saturday morning at 8 a.m. My email is beyond3x5@gmail.com.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts, the Northern Berkshire Early Intervention Program is now accepting applications for an occupational therapist to support child development, empower families, and change futures. 2026 graduates, welcome to apply. Apply today at ucpwma.org.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back here on a Wednesday morning here on Morning Drive here on WTBR 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield. We're also live on 88.1 WSBR in Lee. It's Bob Heck here on the Wednesday morning show. And the Pittsfield 4th of July is celebrating the generations this year, and PCTV will be bringing you live coverage. Join us on July 4th beginning at 9:30 a.m. for live parade coverage from South Street in Pittsfield. On you can watch live on PCTV Access Pittsfield Channel 1301, PCTV Select 1, and on the Pittsfield Community Television Facebook page. Live coverage of the 4th of July parade supported by Greylock Federal Credit Union, Boys and Girls Club of the Berkshires, Hudpucker's Pub and Grill, and Beacon Bank. I want to thank them for supporting the broadcast. We're here with Anastasia Stasia Dedek this morning, and we talk about a variety of things. But coming up, it starts today. Is today the 20th? The Rising Stars Piano Camp and Music Festival.
So this is the Prima Music Foundation Festival and Summer
yes.
Camp. It starts on June 28th.
June 28th.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
It starts with the opening concert at Ventford Hall, which is at 5:30. And we're having a wonderful jazz trio of George Michael on saxophone, Adam Coate on bass, and Michael Schertz on vocals and
okay.
piano. So we're very much looking forward to that concert. And we have 14 pianists coming to join us for the week of the piano camp following the concert. So very, very excited, but lots of work coming up, scheduling everything.
Yeah, absolutely, I can yeah. imagine. And we spoke briefly on how the Prima Music Foundation sort
started.
Of got started
yeah.
and came to the Berkshires. You know, what is the purpose of the organization? It is a nonprofit, right?
Yes, it's a nonprofit, and the purpose is to support young, talented pianists, to provide them performance opportunities, educational opportunities, mm-hmm. and to offer experiences that they would learn from and cherish. So this year, we're adding a new venture. It's an international concerto competition that is going to be happening at Berkshire Music School. We have a beautiful Steinway from Flynn Pianos that will be delivered for the day of the competition. And we have five finalists that were selected for the final round. And two of the winners will go to Italy, to Rome, to perform their piano concerto with the chamber orchestra or
oh, wow.
quartet, depending which concerto wins. So we provide that beautiful opportunity of paid round trip to Rome, their accommodations, and something that I was talking about earlier, this combination of doing something that you love, playing music, and being able to travel, explore, and seeing a different culture, and somehow, you know, put it all together with your craft. I think it makes a huge difference on any artist. And so there'll be two winners that will be going to Rome, and the other three will become the Prima Music Foundation Young Scholars, and we'll be providing performing opportunities for them in New York City and in the Berkshires.
Wow, that sounds like an absolutely potential, incredible experience.
Yes.
And are these folks a part of the piano camp as well?
Well, that's a very good question. So one of the girls that got into the finals, she will be one of the campers.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And she's only 10.
Oh, my goodness.
She's very young, yeah, but she was competing with much older kids. Like one of the finalists is 18. And he goes to Juilliard Pre-College. So, and she's 10, and she lives in Indiana. But they're all extremely talented. And I'm looking forward to the day of music on June 29th. That will be happening at Berkshire Music School starting at 2 o'clock. And it's a free event. It's open to public. So if anybody would like to join us in supporting those young artists with some applause, we would be very grateful.
And where can people find information on where these events are going to be?
Yes, everything is on our website. It's
okay.
PrimaMusicFoundation.com, and that event is laid out there.
Excellent. So this is the fourth year doing it. How cool is it to see people from all over the country come to the Berkshires for this? And of course, you have people from Pittsfield in there as well. So it must be a treat just to see all these you know, different ages,
yeah.
different parts of the country and different things along those lines, you know, all getting together. And, you know, you're
yeah.
obviously nervous at the beginning, and then they sort of just meld together and become this group. I mean,
yeah.
how cool is it to see
yeah.
that?
Well, that's a great question. It's amazing to see that. And what I've noticed in the past 3 years, they all, pretty much all of them, become friends. They keep in touch throughout the year. We have a girl coming from San Jose, and she became friends with students from New York City, and they exchange letters and emails and texts, and they keep in touch and support each other throughout the year in whatever they're doing in their life. So that's really cool to see the difference we make while providing all those great artistic experiences for them. But it's not just that. It's also that energy and the communication that draws those kids together, those kids who have interest in art. And that's always really wonderful to see.
Oh, that's another important thing, because they're all coming in already with something in common. So, you know, they have something to vibe off of right out of the gate.
Absolutely, absolutely. But another thing which I'm very happy that is happening for the camp, we have 14 people, but when it comes to various classes, like we have Professor Groman from Rutgers University teaching piano literature courses. So those 14 students, they are somewhat at different stages, different levels. Mm-hmm. So I have to figure out a way to create groups so that it's beneficial for all of them. And we have kids that are 9 and 10 years old who play, you know, something maybe level 2 or 3. But we also have kids who are going to Manhattan School of Music in the fall, and this is a completely different repertoire, like somebody who is committing to becoming a concert pianist. So it's amazing to see how those people just keep learning from each other and keep appreciating each other's gifts and talents. Because most of them do other things, like they don't necessarily do just piano.
Right.
Especially these days, I feel like that has changed so much in the past 10, 15 years, where kids are just so busy with different activities, but it's also on a very serious level. So a child can do piano professionally, but at the same time, they're doing chess professionally or weightlifting. One of our students who comes from San Jose, she's only 11 years old, but she just got a third place in a national championship in Colorado. It's a weightlifter.
Oh, wow.
That's a girl. And she does this very gracious, beautifully played pieces on the piano.
So you got somebody to move the pianos around.
Exactly, exactly. That Steinway from Flint Pianos will be moved just fine. Yeah, so that's really wonderful to see. Some of them loves to read. Some of them loves to play chess. And of course, sometimes they're just kids and they want to spend time outside. And that's when we take them hiking. Or last year, we took them to a ghost tour at Ventford Hall. That was wonderful.
Oh, yeah.
Everybody loved it. Some of them wanted to stay for the night and check the actual ghosts.
And some of them absolutely did not want to stay for the night, I imagine.
Yeah, some of them did not. No. But then after that night, those kids who stay at Miss Hall School, they decided to take a little tour. And they ventured into a forest in the middle of the night. So now I have to be very strict and firm when it comes to rules and boundaries. And no, you be in your room after 10 p.m. and please don't go meet a bear.
Yeah. How do you identify the kids that are a part of the program?
Say it again.
How do you determine which kids are a part of the program?
Well, I just receive I receive emails. Mm-hmm. Some of those kids are also my students. So it's kind of like the word of mouth. Every
gotcha.
Year we have more and more kids. We started with 5, and now we're 14, and we're getting to the point where we might be changing things next year, because we're at the point where we just cannot have any more, considering that we're doing classes at Berkshire Music School, and it's a wonderful location, but at the same time, there are only that many pianos.
Sure.
And last year, we noticed that there were some pianists who were very serious about their practicing. They wanted to practice after workshop, which ends at 9 or 8:30 p.m. So after having an almost 12-hour day of workshop, masterclasses, performances, they still want to go and practice at 9 p.m.
Oh, wow.
So that was quite surprising to me, because it's a long day and it's a lot of learning. It's a lot of things to digest. But lots of them wanted to stay and practice. And I just thought, like, okay, we're getting to the point where we should be looking into a bigger facility for next year. But that's exciting. I mean, that's the whole point of doing this and growing and providing those opportunities.
Yeah, it's great here in the Berkshires because we do have so many opportunities for kids to be involved with the arts.
Absolutely.
Berkshire Theater Group, Shakespeare and Company, Barrington Stage, they all do youth teen programs. Yes. And it's nice to see another one coming to the Berkshires. And it's an opportunity for us folks here in the Berkshires to see, like, the next crop of musicians that are coming up.
Absolutely. And one of the things that is different, I think, from different what we're doing is that we insert students or young pianists into the concerts with established artists. So we have summer concert series here in Berkshires.
Mm-hmm.
We have some concerts at Venford Hall. And then each concert, we have a young scholar who is a part of the concert with a star, say. And that is something that's not done so often because you usually either have students play, like a student recital,
right,
or there are those unreachable people. But I think it's so important for the young ones to be right next to those stars because there is an incredible amount of inspiration to get. And I just see the joy and the excitement and the fire that they get after sharing a stage with somebody who sang at the Metropolitan Opera. So this is something that I'm going to be continuing doing, and at Venford Hall on June 28th at 5:30 p.m., one of my students will be performing Gershwin Preludes, Arturo Sancho. So he's going to be a part of the Jazz Extravaganza concert. And then we're doing another concert at Chesterwood on August 20th. There'll also be a couple of young artists joining, as well as August 27th at Venford Hall.
So this is like a whole summer-long thing. The piano camp is, you know, more short-term, but you have a lot of things going on over there. Do you primarily spend the summer in the Berkshires?
On and off.
Okay.
Yeah. I also teach quite a bit, so I teach at a festival, Palmetto Festival in South Carolina, right after Berkshire's camp.
Okay.
Then I go to Italy, and I teach at Acque Terme for 12 days. So my July is all devoted to teaching and performing at those festivals myself. But then in August, we're here, in and out. I also need to check on my students in Manhattan to make sure that they still remember where the middle C is at. So, yeah, but we love it here, and we love coming, and just we always try to figure out if there is a concert, if there is anything going on in Tanglewood, and of course there is always happening.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm very excited about this new collaboration with Chesterwood. It's such a gorgeous place.
Yes.
Yeah. Beautiful.
So, obviously, through your career, you've met a lot of people, and you bring some of those folks to the Berkshires to be a part of this as well. How important are those connections?
I think those connections is everything.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that I think needs to be taken more seriously from an earlier age, especially if you're in the arts.
Yes.
People that you meet, you know, one of the examples is Miss Rita Kuker, with whom I reconnected so many years later, but I met her when I was 8. And then 20-something years later, we meet in Lenox on a different continent. So you never know. And I think those friendships and relationships that you build, you got to keep them and you got to appreciate it. And the whole idea of the foundation, of the creation of foundation, was based on, I'm just going to call my friends and ask them to play a couple of concerts. The first time we did it at Miss Kuker's house,
mm-hmm.
and in her beautiful living room, and I just asked friends, you know, it's a beautiful place, why don't you come and share some music? And that's how it all started. So yes, those connections are very, very precious.
And it's probably great for the kids to, you know, be able to perform with and learn from these folks. Because I, as much as you hate to say it, the arts world, in a way, is less what you know and more who you know. So to be able to have these connections, especially early in your life and early in your career, are invaluable.
Yes, of course. Absolutely. And this is when travels also become important. Mm-hmm. Like, for example, this connection that I take kids to Italy, the yes. two winners, that comes from me meeting this friend of mine who is now inviting us to Italy. I met him at the festival in Switzerland when I was 20 years old. And now, so many years later, you know, we're doing this collaboration together, which is also extremely exciting. And then it has to do with music. It has to do with something that we love so much. So friendship, music, teaching, education, students, it's like I cannot, for myself, I cannot think of a better way to spend time on this earth.
And you came here from Russia. Are you thrilled to have... You said everything happens at the right time.
Yeah.
So obviously you're thrilled you made the jump to Oberlin and started your life here.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. It feels like it was the right choice at the right time. And not saying it was easy, but, you know, nothing that's really worth having is going to have an easy path, right?
Exactly.
So...
Well, yeah. Anastasia, thank you so much for joining us this morning. I had a lot of fun chatting with you and looking forward to all the cool stuff you're going to bring to the Berkshires, starting with this camp. It's going to be terrific. And thanks for taking the time to join us this morning.
Well, thank you so much. It was fun. Thank you.
Well, everybody, thank you so much for joining us this morning. Sean Sayre's back in the big chair tomorrow. I believe he's got the mayor on tomorrow. So that's at 7:30 tomorrow morning. And thank you so much for tuning in. And we'll talk to you. I'll be back with you next week. Have a great day, everybody.